It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And for the final part of our program on Generation X, we're going to tour a new exhibit at the Illinois State Museum in Springfield. It's called Growing Up X, and it's open now through September 4th. I visited the museum last week and got to take a tour with the curator behind the exhibit.
My name is Erica Holst, and I'm the curator of history at the Illinois State Museum.
The artifacts fill several rooms. Clothing, toys, and technology. There's even a mock hands-on family room where you can watch movies on VHS tape or play an old Atari 2600. I began by asking Holst, why an exhibit on Generation X, which doesn't exactly have a reputation for being particularly noteworthy?
Right, exactly. So the initial idea just came out of discussion among staff of like, you know, kids don't know how to dial a rotary phone, and I bet they don't know how to make a mixtape. And so we're like, what if we just had a hands-on day where people could come and touch the artifacts? And then it was like, you know what, like, let's dig deeper than that, and let's look into a Gen X childhood, because at the museum, we're committed to, helping to share stories of people who don't traditionally have their stories told, and who better fits that category than Generation X, the most overlooked generation in American culture.
Maybe we should start, and I do want to get to some of those hands-on artifacts. I can see a rotary payphone and some wall-mounted phones in the distance there, but let's start with the definition. What is Gen X?
So we are defining it as those born between 1965 and 1980. Of course, the people on the cusps of that might lean more Gen X than, say, Boomer or Millennial, but that's kind of the traditional definition.
Let's walk over maybe to one of these physical artifacts then. You mentioned telephones and what it feels like to dial a rotary phone. So what are we looking at?
So we're looking at a wall of telephones. We've got a rotary payphone. We've got a touch-tone dial wall phone, the clear kind, the clear Conair kind. We have a cordless phone, and we have a rotary wall-mounted phone with a long cord, the kind that was found in kitchens throughout America in the 1970s and 80s.
Yeah, that's probably a good, 10 feet of stretch right there at least.
You had to, right? Yeah. That's if you wanted to have a private phone conversation, that's the way you did it.
And the kind where I bet if we slammed it down in anger, we'd get that nice little ding.
Oh, that's what someone said on one of our surveys, that kids today will never know the satisfaction of slamming down the phone when you're mad at someone.
It's an expensive mistake with an iPhone.
It is. So I did want to make that point is that when we got underway with this exhibit, I'm the curator of history, and typically my work doing exhibits involves research into, past people. This is, an alive generation. We're between the ages of 42 and 58 at this point. And so the way we went about it was basically to crowdsource all the information. We put out surveys asking people what was it like to be part of Generation X growing up? What were your clothes? What was your experience? What music did you listen to? And we got more than 1,000 responses. So everything you see in here is reflective of the input that we got. The photos, the insights, the objects that people remembered, and a lot of them are loans from people who said, I've got my Swatch watch, or I've got my Walkman, or whatever. And so as much as we can, we tried to borrow things from, real life Gen Xers. The things that we couldn't find, we bought off eBay.
So talk about how the exhibit is subdivided.
So this is our phones and technology section, and interspersed with kind of the physical aspects of growing up Generation X are little sections that also kind of speak to the culture and the vibe. We've got what we call our latchkey section, because probably the thing that jumped out of all the surveys, if you had to pick a defining characteristic of Generation X, it's a generation that was left alone. As kids, people aren't supervising very closely, and then you grow up and we're lost in the shuffle between boomers and millennials. But really that childhood experience of parents who are working, parents who are divorced, parents who couldn't be there for their kids after school, so you get handed the house key on a string around your neck and told, let yourself in and lock the door. And so unsupervised kids fending for themselves.
Yeah, latchkey, that's where that comes from. Talk about some of the other commonalities. You mentioned latchkey was one of them. What else jumped out at you as sort of common experiences?
So Generation X had a different experience than our parents, who were the boomers and the silent generation. They entered the prime of their life in this like post-war boom, right, where everything's like optimistic and the economy's chugging along and, you know, everyone's like, yay, rah, America. Gen X is born into a world like post-Vietnam War, post-Watergate resignation, economic downturn and recession. So like nothing's going well, you know, and so we don't have that optimism. It's a very, it's sort of slightly a cynical generation. There's a lot of dark humor that I think is used to like process, you know, that cynicism and that sort of lack of optimism. And again, it's having older generations that were not as into the, it wasn't a child-focused generation, you know? So being left to yourself, you sort of learn to do things on your own, learn to take care of yourself, make your own fun, and make your own meaning about the world, I guess.
If the parents had a helicopter, they were not using it to hover over their kids. They were going off to do something fun on Saturday night.
Yeah, they were going to, you know, a cocktail party in Boca Raton or something.
So maybe we can move into this area that has some fashion on the wall and talk about that.
Yeah, so we're moving into a section that has clothing. So we've highlighted the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Of course, the exhibition is Growing Up X, so the whole focus is like Generation X in its youth. So this is when we were kids into teens and young adults, starting with the 70s. One of my favorite headers is the quote that we have on the top there. We were alive for the 1970s, so all I can tell you is our clothing early on was horrific. So we've got some polyester leisure suits and jumpsuits and bell bottoms and tough skins on the wall there. Going into the 80s, which was, you know, this big, bold decade where like more is more, right? And so we've got the members only jacket and the parachute pants and the leg warmers over your stirrup pants. And then
there's the t-shirt with the spinny art, the paint, right?
Do you remember that?
I don't, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. That was the thing. I grew up in the Chicago suburbs and that was like a huge thing for like a minute in the 80s. I'd have birthday parties where you'd go create your own t-shirts like that.
And then the 90s, I see you have Cross Colors here, which I was struggling to remember the name of that fashion brand, although it very distinctly jumps out at me from junior high school.
Oh yeah, for sure. Cross Colors, Starter. We've got the Alicia Silverstone style crushed velvet baby doll dress. So yeah, the 90s were just kind of like low-key and grunge, and grunge is funny because grunge was supposed to be like anti-fashion, right? But then it became fashionable, so undermined that whole thing.
I still miss my flannel shirts.
Well, they're back now. If you save them, if you watch, you know, kids today, they're all watching, wearing like 90s clothes. It's like, I remember when that was cool the first time around.
Thinking about the Cross Colors here, that was came out of hip hop culture, sure. African-American fashion. Talk about building inclusivity into this exhibit.
Well, that was the nice thing about getting so many surveys is that we really, you know, we wanted to be inclusive of a variety of perspectives, and we did get, you know, Northern Illinois to Southern. We tried to focus on Illinois, but we actually got surveys in from nationwide, but, you know, from urban and rural, from Black and white and Latina, and just, you know, we got such a beautiful like spectrum of responses to choose from that we really feel like we were able to incorporate a lot of perspectives and also see what themes like resonated across, you know, across the demographics. There were some commonality themes, like the being raised on your own, like a passionate commitment to your music, you know, like Gen X loves their music, and like, you know, kind of a universal like regret over the Big Bangs and like some of the wilder, you know, hairstyles of the 80s and 90s.
I love there's a poster over here with big hair and it says, "Send the ozone our regrets."
Yep, and the can of Aquanet featured front and center.
Talk about music and the idea of physical objects and the importance. Yeah, let's do that.
So one response we got from the surveys, I think, just beautifully summed it up. And it said, being Gen X means that you bought your favorite album on vinyl, on cassette, on CD, and on MP3. So Gen X is really a generation that saw like this whirlwind of music technological change. You know, you might have grown up with like 8 tracks in your house. Certainly everybody's parents had vinyl. If you're on the older end of Gen X, you probably had vinyl yourself.
Thriller was my first record purchase, if I remember correctly.
Nice. Yeah. Actually, we might have that over here.
Oh, on cassette.
There it is on cassette. Yeah. Nice. Really, I think like the cassette is at the heart of it. We've got this like wonderful giant cassette on the wall here spinning because like the mixtape, you know, I think is just so emblematic of Generation X. The idea that, you know, music isn't just something that we consumed, it became our language. And you make a mixtape to, you know, break up with a significant other or to express your love for your best friend or to have tunes while driving or to wallow in heartache, you know, they became our like personal soundtracks and anthems and just the time and effort. You know, so many people wrote in about remembering sitting with their finger over the record button on the cassette and they wait for their favorite song to come on the radio and then, you know, you hit record once it starts and start, and that's how you build your music collection.
You just don't get that with the Spotify playlist, do you?
It's just not the same, you know? I mean, you can create a playlist, yeah, but there's not the investment of time into it and handwriting out, you know, the liner notes with the, like, you know, name of the song and title and artist. And I wanted to point out this. This was contributed by our late director, Cinnamon Catlin Legutko, and these are some of her mixtapes from her teenage years, and they're just phenomenal. This one was actually given to her by a college boyfriend, and you know, like he's made a collage that includes a picture of them and you know little words that represent them, and written on the tape, "We are in love, 1090." So you know, that's beautiful. It's just such a perfect Gen X artifact right there.
100%, yeah. I never got a mixtape that was that. I did get some of these more handwritten varieties. Yeah, those are great. So there's also a living room. You wanted this to be something people could immerse in. Maybe we can walk over there. Oh, look at this wood paneling. Pictures on the wall. Ooh, the wall rack of cassettes. Yeah, nice.
So this is my favorite space. This is a completely immersive and interactive space. Nothing in here is off limits. So you can come into the space and you can sit down and you can chill like it's 1986. We have an Atari you can play. We have a Nintendo you can play. We have a TV and VCR set up. You could sit down here and watch a movie if you want to. We've got a bunch of vintage magazines, books, a set of encyclopedias, stereo. Everything on here is something where people can sit down and experience it hands-on.
I see there's an ashtray on the little coffee table here. I presume still no smoking in here.
There's no smoking, but those are wonderful. Those one of our colleagues loaned us these for use in the exhibit. They're from McDonald's, from back when you could like smoke at McDonald's.
This actually raises a really good point. We talked earlier about the sort of nostalgia that we're seeing among some Gen Zers for the 80s and 90s. And one thing I say to people, well, there's the big picture things like ask somebody who's in the LGBTQ community how the 80s and 90s were. Mm-hmm. That's nothing to be nostalgic about.
Sure.
But even the small things, maybe it's not so small, but like anytime you'd go to a restaurant, you'd come home smelling like smoke, right? If your family didn't smoke already in your own house. Can you talk about some of the things that get forgotten or sort of ironed out in memory over time?
For sure. And actually, I want to walk you over to a different artifact we have, if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
Since you're talking about smoking, so we purchased this Teddy Ruxpin secondhand for inclusion in this exhibit. And when it came to us, do you want to give it a smell?
I'm a little afraid to, but
you might have to put your nose right on his fur.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I got that.
Saturated with smoke,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And at first we're like, oh, we can't use this. And we're like, no, this is 100% Gen X because people smoked all the time.
Right.
You know, you smoked in restaurants, you smoked on airplanes. It was just people had a cloud of smoke. And parents, you know, didn't think that, you know, the cloud of smoke might be negatively affecting their children. So a lot of kids walked around like saturated in smoke.
What do you hope people take away from this exhibit?
Oh, let's see. It's so many things. I want Gen Xers to come in and I want them to see the exhibit and say, like, I had that, or, you know, I remember that, and really, like, relate to what they see and to feel seen. You know, poor Gen X, we still don't get any love. So I want people to come and feel recognized and really see their childhoods represented here. And beyond that, I want the middle-aged folks to bring the young people in their lives and really say, like, this is what it was like. You know, this is how I had to dial the phone. This is how I watch TV. These are the toys I played with. And, like, promote some of those intergenerational conversations about, like, what's it like for you? This is what it's like for me. This is why I am the way I am today.
Do you want to pick a song for us to go out on?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I'll do a classic.
Well, Erica Hulse, thank you so much for taking us around the Growing Up X exhibit here at the Illinois State Museum.
Thanks so much, and please come by. This is open through September 4th, and we want as many people to see it as possible.
The exhibit is Growing Up X at the Illinois State Museum in Springfield, and that's all the time we have for our show today. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.